And our deacons meeting is today after the second service, and there will also be the vacation Bible school meeting today after the second service. So if you want to stick around for that, you're more than welcome to. There's no, I guess anybody can show up if they like, so you're more than welcome if you're interested or just want to listen in. That's fine too. But I think that's all I have, and our next Lord's Supper will be June 30th. And we'll go ahead and dismiss the children. So here we are to number 113 and 114. And I thought we might want to end on a good note. There's been a kind of a lot of downers in this series, so maybe we'll end on an upward kind of motivational more note than maybe the rest of it's been. But you know, this is more so to get us looking at the right things and what our priorities should be as believers. And because there's a lot of distractions, there's a lot of things in the world that try to get you away from those priorities, so maybe we can see what they are supposed to be and go from there. So let's take a moment of silent prayer. We always take advantage of 1 John 1:9, which tells us if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He's always gracious and faithful to do that every single time that we go to Him and name and acknowledge the sins that we have committed. And it's an awesome thing, because once we get too far off in the woods, off the beaten path in sin, it makes it harder to come back for us. So keeping short accounts is a good thing, and that's what we like to do. So let's take a moment, we'll pray, and we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you. Thank you for the day. Thank you for being able to be here and to learn your word, to learn the truth that you've provided for us. We thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the positive believers here that are interested in knowing you, getting to know you. And that's the main objective of this church, is to know you and walk with you and to live by according to what you say. We thank you for all these things, and we ask them in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are, 113 and 114. And if you remember, we left off back in James about showing favoritism, partiality, and what that looks like. And you know, I wanted to hit that verse because we're all more than capable of getting into that mindset to where we can instantly take what we see and evaluate it in a wrong way, and now we're in the area of judging, or, you know, partiality, favoritism type of thing. And what it does is, I think it causes problems in the church, because people can pick up on those things, and then you have a whole nother issue, because now you've not only affected yourself, your own spiritual life, but you've affected other people who now are involved as well. So it kind of has a ripple effect, and I think it keeps going, those ripples, the more we take part in that kind of thing. But I think that's why we also have Ephesians 5:18 that gives us the command to be filled with the Spirit. You know, it's a very simple command. It's something that we all usually take part in. That's why I like to keep short accounts of sin in our life, and because we are commanded to walk in the Spirit. We're commanded to think in the Word of God, think in the motivation and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that precludes all those things that when we look at things and we you know, take those differences in, you think about them different. When your motivation is not based on the flesh, you evaluate things differently, you interpret things differently, and you react differently. Everything is completely different when it comes to what we're motivated by and what we're walking by in the spiritual life. And so if we can walk by the Spirit, you're darn right that we want to, because we can evaluate things that are pleasing to the Lord, beneficial to the person that's coming in with the differences, and beneficial to you because you're glorifying God in walking in the Spirit and how you're, you know, associating and dealing with these relationships that we're in every day, and we see and we associate with people every day. So there's a lot there, but you can see the huge difference in how we are and how we act. Because, man, we saw that sin nature. It goes to the ends of the earth to complete its mission, and it doesn't like to stop until it obtains that objective. So, anyways, that's just something to keep in mind. And you know, the whole reason we went off in that direction is because to show you what happens when we get our eyes on people. And when we get our eyes on the things of this world, when we get our eyes on the things that aren't necessarily priorities. So I think we went from seeing what we should not prioritize to hopefully going to what we should have our priorities on and our, put the importance on, right? Where the importance is in your life. And if you remember, we separated those out into seeking legitimate glory from God and seeking that illegitimate glory from the world. And I like to think about the priorities in those two areas, because that's essentially what we are doing. We're always seeking. It just matters what direction and what area you're seeking in, right? Is it illegitimately through the power of the flesh, which means they're my objectives, my motivation and my goals and my wishes? Or am I doing it in the power of the filling of the Holy Spirit, where these are God's goals, God's objectives, God's motivation? God is, that's what He desires, obviously, right? His plan moves forward and is completed through believers that have a desire to walk in His will. And so when the longer we go down this path, I think we begin to separate things in our life. We begin to see what's important and what's not important. What used to be important is now maybe not so important, and what used to not be important is now more important to you. And so the longer you go down this road, that will continue to happen. That process will continue to happen, where we will say, okay, this is really important to me now, when it wasn't before. And so your life will change around that, whatever that important priority is at that point. So, because you want to see it completed. You want to see it resolved. You want to see it fulfilled. And you want, I think it all boils down to obedient, faithful Christians, right? We understand that that takes us, it takes our volition to get on board with that obedience. And so I think it becomes a part of you. And when it becomes a part of you, that's where we really take it with us and go to the next stage in the spiritual life, which is obviously what God wants. So, and this is why we don't want to take that route of that illegitimate glory, because we exclude God from that process. And remember, He'll let you do that, right? He won't say, no, you have to go this way. He'll actually let you take that path and show you that it's the not only the wrong path, but that it's destructive. It's destructive to yourself. It's destructive to the people around you. And, you know, we've all learned that way. You know, we look back and say, wow, just there was a blaze of fire going through there in my life where, you know, I almost destroyed myself and those around me. But we also learn, right? God shows us. He constructively disciplines us, I guess you could say. And that was what James 2 was all about. So we've got to preclude that. And I would say to preclude that unhealthy type of thinking, you know, those priorities which are not really priorities. When we separate people and we show people more attention than others. And in other words, it's not a representation of the spiritual life that God wants us to live. Why? Because our priorities are different. We're interested in earthly, worldly things that have nothing to do with the walking in the Spirit and the truth and the Word of God and how we're supposed to go about doing things. But we've shifted. You can see that we've shifted. So I will tell you that a healthy spiritual life comes with understanding what's important and what's not important. So for you, as a growing believer that's growing and learning, those priorities are constantly changing. You may not see that, but it is a process that takes place, if not every day, every week, right? Because your priorities are actually shifting every time we come in here and we learn and we grow spiritually. They may be tiny, but the reality is you see things a little bit different than you did before. And that's the goal of the truth, right? We want to take the truth and bring it in and then get the false out. So that's where the priorities start to shift. It's really around, what does God want me to do? And that should be the priority that we take on. You know, there's so many people in life that you've dealt with in relationships, and that relationship or what you say or do was not a priority for them. It was not a priority for them. And you can see the results of that relationship. Either it didn't last, or, you know, it kind of fizzled out, or there wasn't enough of a bond there to continue to have an influence. It just faded away, right? And that's the part that we don't want to obviously do with the Word and God's relationship that we have with Him. Now, you can never lose the eternal security that you have, but guess what? Fellowship is everything. Fellowship is the walk that we have in the believer's life. And fellowship, we can get out of fellowship with God as a believer who is saved. I know that seems to be a hard concept for many people, but the Scripture is very clear. You know, that's what the book of 1 John is really about. It's about fellowship. It's about abiding, not being saved. It's about abiding, which means remaining in Christ, right? If we want to remain in Christ, it's not talking about positional salvation-wise. It's talking about daily walk, abiding in Him. So that's the kind of things that we're talking about. And I think part of this boils down to where the real value is, right? What makes us change our minds about something that goes from less important to more important is seeing the value in it. When we understand the value in something, we're going to make a change. We're going to make a change because we didn't see it before, but now we see it. Or we didn't necessarily have, maybe not didn't have the humility, but now we do. And we can see the value in making a decision that is not necessarily to trump somebody else or to get the last word in or to say, I told you so. It's the value is there to make a decision that is glorifying to God. And we can see the value is there because it's, see, our priorities are different at that point. You're not looking from a worldly, fleshly point of view just to glorify me and say, okay, this is, I was right, or I did this, or I had the last word, or I got the last whatever, right? It's more of, I'm going to go back and do what God wants me to do in this situation. Why? Because it has eternal value. It not only benefits you spiritually, but it benefits that person that you wanted to get back. You really think they deserve what they get. But at the end of the day, we have to take a step back and reserve that because God's justice has that area covered. Remember, we talked a lot about that in judging. In judging, we can instantly judge, but there's only one judge, at least legitimate judge, that we talked about. So there's a lot of applications to be made along the way, but there's always also a right decision to make and a wrong one to make. And that boils down to seeing that value. And you will never see the value in the decisions that you make as good or better or worse unless you're growing spiritually. That's the only way you're going to see value in what you're doing or not doing in your daily decisions that you make. So honestly, I would say just keep doing what you're doing. Growing is a good thing. And if you sense yourself getting stagnant, you know, not growing, there's methods to resolve that. And one of them is go back to the basics. Go back to the basics. You know, the filling of the Holy Spirit is one of those things that are very small but very big, right? Sin in our lives, sometimes we get deceived in areas where we'll maybe not think of something as a sin, but it is a sin. And we'll justify that sin and we'll work around that sin just to kind of bring that sin with us, because we may enjoy that sin too much. And that sin is really what's destroying, or at least causing us to kind of get stagnant in our, in the spiritual life. So be leery of things like that and be careful. But I think the reality is we're all growing and moving in the right direction. And so that was part of my motivation for doing this is, you know, there's a lot of things to enjoy this life with. God has given us many, many things to enjoy. And if we're here, if we're living as unto the Lord, we want to do what is right, I believe that He allows us to enjoy those things. But we've got to learn how to get our priorities straight first. So many people are trying to enjoy those things because that is their priority. Right? God does not want us to do that first, because He understands that that's not where the happiness is. That's not where the contentment is. He's trying to get us right here first before we get to that. He's trying to get us in the, you know, the right flow before we can begin to really truly enjoy life and what it's all about. And I'm not saying that that's all going to take place here. I think we're all growing and seeing that each and every day and every week that we're here. But the more you grow, the more we can begin to enjoy life, because we see where the real value is, where the real value is. So, I mean, we have the blueprints, don't we? We do. We have the blueprints. God gave us the blueprints on how to live, how to walk, how to think, how to be happy, how to be content, how to deal with our sins that we may have a personal weakness in. All these things, you know, the world is struggling to find these things, and they're all here. They're all here in the spiritual life, and we have them available, but it does take a little bit of effort on the person's part to at least want to desire that, to want to grow, right? It's positive volition is what it is towards the Word of God. So anyways, I think we can see how religion constantly is taking these blueprints that I think are very clear. I'm not saying they're always easy to understand. That's why we, you know, have to go through it up here in detail. But I think we can see how there's a lot of people and organizations and denominations that take the blueprints and they make them hard to read. They make them hard to see what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to live. They make them hard. You know, there's some pages missing out of the blueprints, right? There's some The blueprints may be changed. They may be altered to now the building's not complete. It's not, you know, the building can't be built. I'm talking about a spiritual building. It can't be built unless you have the details in the blueprints. And so we've got it. It's called the Bible. We just need someone to interpret it, to teach it. And we know that's God's glory that He does, and He's responsible for that. And we're all taking part in that process, right? The Holy Spirit is definitely involved in this process. So we can't just leave things out. And we've seen that over and over throughout this entire series, that the blueprints are not given to the people in the clearest, purest form that we can receive them. They're given to them in an altered or state that's different than when the original, right, that God gave them to us. And I think Jesus pointed this out to the Jews in Matthew 23:13. He actually pointed this very fact, this point out. He says, "But woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people. For you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Now keep in mind, these are the most religious people of the day. These were the ones that looked pious, they looked holy, they looked good, they looked like they followed the books, they looked like they checked all the boxes, they showed up on time, they were there every service. These are those people. Now if we went back in time, we said, oh, they're going to heaven. Jesus had just the opposite view of what these people were. They were actually keeping people from going in. Why? Because they were saying you have to do something in order to go in. That's why they were keeping, they were saying you got to do X, Y, Z, and you have to follow the Mosaic law, and you have to do this and do that, and they added all kind of other requirements before you can be saved. And you know what? At the end of the day, is that the blueprints that God has? Is that showing grace? No, it's not. It's excluding people from, as this verse is talking about, the kingdom of heaven. And he calls them out. He says, you do not enter yourselves. I think there's a lot of people who are working their way to heaven that are going to be sadly mistaken when they get to the end from all that work that they've been doing. They forgot that it just took faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, and not what I can do and what I can bring to the table. And God, look at all what I did. No, it's look what Jesus Christ did. It's look what he did on the cross. He died for you just so you can be here and live the spiritual life, right? So the scribes and the Pharisees, this is not something, a bad name. It's just religious people that were a part of Judaism. Just another religion, just like we see today, other religions. I'm not necessarily saying they're all this bad, but I think they have parts of them that can include things that are bad, for sure. And I think those things exclude people in different parts of the spiritual life. Of course, this one is the worst one you can exclude them from, which is salvation, right? Salvation. So, and you know, I seem to be seeing more of that every day. I think we're seeing the results of religion today. You know, the country was, I know it was founded on Christianity, but you could almost say it was founded on religion as well. Because there was a lot of religion here that came over. There was a lot of religion that has been formed since. And there's still a lot of religion today. We're steeped in religion. And so I'm noticing when I tell someone about the gospel message and about being saved, about Jesus Christ and about faith alone and Christ alone, you know what? They're expecting something else. They're wanting more. They don't accept that because they grew up in a religious setting. They heard about sin, death, and hell. And they heard about all what they had to do in order to get into the pearly gates. Well, now it's towards the end of their life. They've separated from the church because obviously it wasn't doing anything for them. They're getting closer to the end of their life. They're starting to question, are they really saved? And for good reasons, right? Because they're looking to themselves to get themselves into heaven. So they're not sure about that. So then you tell them about how to be saved, and it's not enough. That's the results of what religion does, is it keeps people out because they look to themselves to get themselves into heaven. And that's a dangerous place to be. That is a very dangerous place to be. And so we're in a time now where the expectations are different, but I'm not saying that it relies on us. That relies on the Holy Spirit to convict people of sin and to also allow people to open their minds and their hearts to see that God saves and not we don't save ourselves, right, through Jesus Christ. And so sometimes I think it takes just a little more explanation that we cannot do anything to save ourselves. As a matter of fact, all of our deeds are like filthy rags, right? They're unrighteousness, and we can never achieve the righteousness of God. We can't do that. That's why Jesus Christ had to come and save. He didn't have to, grace. But he came and saved us and gave us that gift of salvation because he knew we couldn't save ourselves. He knew we couldn't attain the righteousness of God without God himself. Without giving us that salvation, we couldn't be saved. We can't work for it. We can't do anything for it. Why? Because we're sinners. And that's kind of the part that out of the blueprints that got excluded out of a lot of churches. It got excluded, right? That part was concealed, and now you have this right here. People are getting shut out, shut off. Now, I always look to, you know, I always look to blame the wrong party. I always look to the religion. But at the end of the day, it's not really the religion, it's the people. It's the people. We all have our individual choices we make. We've all been a part of religion. We've all experienced religion, every single one of us here. From childhood even to adulthood, we've all been exposed, a part of it. And guess what? At the end of the day, we all are held accountable for our decisions. I'm not talking about when we were children or anything like that, right? I'm talking about when we're accountable, when we're old enough to be accountable for ourselves. So we can't look to the religion as a whole. We have to say, okay, there's a component of this that involves the people. And when you're okay with having blueprints that aren't complete, we can't just say it's the leader's fault, it's the group's fault, it's the committee's fault, it's the organization's fault. No, it's the sheep's fault. It's the sheep's fault. Because they are choosing what shepherd they want to be under. I mean, that's the reality, isn't it? It's the reality. Well, I never really see it that way, but that is what it is. Because, you know, Satan is alive and well, and we always look to blame Satan or blame the preachers that are teaching the false doctrines, and that is true. It is their fault too, right? But at the end of the day, it's the individual person's fault for staying. So we can't save themselves or save ourselves, and I think Scripture is very clear about that. So this I wanted to show you this because this is one of those verses that I think the results of religion is that's what it gives us right here. It excludes people, and it also kind of keeps them in the dark about how to live in this life with a sin nature. How do you do that? You know, there's a lot of people that don't know what to do with sin, and now they're running around trying to do things that is not biblical or does not give them relief from the sin. Well, we got to include that in the blueprints too, because Jesus Christ died for all sins and he forgives all sins. We just need to know how to access that, how to take advantage of that on a day-to-day basis, right? That's what I like about 1 John. It says we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's referring to a day-to-day cleansing, a day-to-day cleansing for the believer, not for the unbeliever. That's really what confession and forgiveness is about. You're cleansed from what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That gave us the capability to even confess our sins. Guess what? Without the cross and dying for the sins, we wouldn't be able to confess the sins. It just wouldn't work. If there was no penalty, no justice served, there would be no forgiveness able that God could give us. See, Jesus Christ bridges the gap. He bridges that gap for us. And it's a beautiful thing to see that forgiveness is not just because I named the sin. No. That's a tiny, tiny piece of it, right? Forgiveness comes from what has already been done, has already been accomplished. And don't let that confuse you that you do have a positional forgiveness in your position in sin. And you have an experiential forgiveness, a daily forgiveness that we're forgiven each and every day. Because God knew once you were saved, he knew you were going to sin again. And he knew you were going to need that constant cleansing as a believer. Because, you know, we all sin and we all fail. But at the end of the day, God understands this. Right, God understands that we're sinners and we needed a Savior that could forgive us because we would keep sinning. So my hope and prayer is that all these things that people are experiencing that religion has exposed them to, I think they will begin to seek better solutions. That's my hope, anyways. And ultimately, what is that better solution? It's truth. Seek the truth and you will find the truth. Seek the truth and you will find the truth. See how it goes right back to the person? You don't seek the truth, you won't find the truth. So we do have a part to play in this, and we've gotten comfortable, we've gotten relaxed, we've gotten to where we're, you know, there's nothing driving people anymore to serve the Lord. We're too comfortable. We're too relaxed as a society. There's nothing. There's no pressure. There's no fire. There's nothing that's motivating them to serve anymore. And so they don't serve. But that's the thing. No one has a fear for God anymore, right? Because if you're not serving the Lord, you're definitely not concerned about what he says about serving him. Because he certainly says that's the most important thing that we should be doing. The most important thing is have him number one in our life. But we're definitely not there as a country. I don't know where he is on the list, but, you know, if he's even on the top 10, right? So, and throughout this study we've seen a lot of different contrast. We've gone back and forth and we've seen a lot. And I just wanted to jot some of these down because I think that, you know, there's a clear divider that we can see and all these contrasts and all these studies and all these things that are being brought up. Here's some of them. Truth versus false, light, darkness, spirituality, morality, spirituality, carnality, spiritual, physical. There's an inner change versus an outer change, grace versus works, and the spirit versus the flesh. Those are just some of them. These are the ones that the Holy Spirit just said, here, dropped them on the paper and gave them to me right there in that moment. But guess what? There's a lot more. There's a lot more of them. And these are just some. But you can see when the blueprints aren't given in full, it quickly changes from maybe spirituality to morality. If you're a good person, then you're a spiritual person. Well, wow, that was a quick change. See how subtle that is? The blueprints have to be given correctly. Or otherwise, things get changed and all of a sudden God is excluded from the process. If page 3 wasn't there in the blueprints, that might have been, I don't know, the chimney. Now you're lighting a fire and it has no way to escape out the house. That's a problem, right? So we've got to look at these things and we have to see that there is a right way and there's a wrong way, and man's way is not the right way. I don't have the solutions. God has the solutions. And when we go to some religion to give us those solutions, now you see people that are dedicated to the religion over the Bible. They're dedicated to the man and the organization over God and His Word. That's the flip that has happened. And there is, we see a lot of outer change, but we don't see a lot of inner change. And that's what you'll continue to see. But again, goes right back to God sees the heart. Everything is being accounted for. I know we think, oh, Satan's winning. You know, we look at the news, say, wow, you know, who's this guy speaking in tongues? And, you know, I can't even understand what he's saying. God is in charge. God is in charge. And He understands every single thing that happens and every single thing that people are thinking and the motivation that's taking place. So I think part of our job is to just rest assured, is to take a step back and say, you know what? Our part is this right here, to keep our priorities straight. That's our part. If we want to prepare, you want to prep, you're a prepper, get your priorities straight. I'd say that is the most important thing you could do as a prepper, is the spiritual component first. And then you can do all the canning you want. You can do all the water. You can do any whatever you want to do. But if you don't have this part right first, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because when the crisis hits, this is the one thing that you're going to wish you had and you're going to need. You're going to need it. And at that point, guess what? It's too late. You can't grow spiritually. You can't all of a sudden turn to God and say, save me, God. And now you know, I mean, that's what we're going to have a lot of people doing. Oh, God, help me when the crisis hits. Well, where you been the last 10, 20, 30 years? You hadn't been serving me, right? And that's where the justice of God steps in and says, well, it's time to experience a little bit of judgment, right? And so we need to be focused here on the left side of the equation, so that we can, I think, get through this time, because we're going to go through that time. We're going to go through that time. I don't know. You know, you got to think. You keep hearing that the rapture is going to happen. Well, guess what comes with the rapture judgment? Before the rapture judgment, if it doesn't come, it still doesn't look good, right? I'm not saying it's going to, or it will, or it won't. I don't know. But at the end of the day, we know it's not good. We know people aren't serving the Lord. I mean, we're seeing crazy things on TV. It almost seems like, you know, you see these things on college campuses. You see these things that are anti-God on TV. Now it's all out in the open. It's all open now. I mean, it's a free-for-all almost. Hey, those things are going to be held accountable. And it's not going to be by us, because we can't do anything about it, but God can. And that's what I love about it. We're going to win. We already have won through Jesus Christ. And we just have to watch it unfold. God always looks out for His people. Always. No doubt. No doubt about that. So just a few things to keep in mind. And I wanted to show you this list because it keeps going back to these big contrasts that we're seeing. This is just a few of them. So you can imagine, with this vast list that we have here. I mean, it's a pretty decent list. I mean, we could actually teach on every one of these, right? But if you look at this list, guess what else is with this list? Priorities. Different priorities for different people, right? Apparently, your priorities are the truth. You want to know God. You want to do things in the correct manner. So my job is to teach the Word of God so we can all take part in that purpose, in that drive, in that objective, right? Obviously, if we don't have those objectives or priorities, you can see where you start to drift on the other side. You start to get into the world. You start to please the world. Your desire is to now please the world. And also, that includes self. And see, we're not here to serve man. We're here to serve God. We're here to serve God, not man, not a president, not a political system, not a church, not a denomination, not a preacher. We're here to serve God. That's who we're here to serve. And at the end of the day, if we don't keep that number one, we're going to drift to this other, this right side of the column here. We're going to do that. So we saw, I think, some of these things in James 2. The priorities were wrong. People were coming in the church. They were feeling, they were being judged. And you know what? You go in a lot of churches, you will see that. You will feel that. Some of you have exposure to that. Some of you have been a part of that. But the reality is you can't really blame them. I mean, if there's no interchange, what else do they have to go off of? But I get it. It's their fault for you know, not having an interchange too. But there's nothing to think differently with. If you're not getting the truth, you're not taking out the false, and now you don't have anything to think positive or beneficial with towards the people coming in. You just have negative. So now you're not only not a benefit, but you have a big group of people who are ready and willing to get on the same boat with you. And that's not a pretty picture when you get entire groups that are ready to exclude you or keep you away from something that is fair game for any, should be for anybody. So that's what I kind of wanted to talk about in these lessons is priorities and what they should be for the Christian, at least according to God's word. I mean, there's a lot of priorities we can sit up here and talk about. You know, a lot, right? You like cream in your coffee, sugar. I mean, we got priorities, I know. You don't want this, you don't want that way, you like it cooked this way. Believe me, we got a lot of that, right? But at the end of the day, we want to see what it is from the Word of God. I wonder if Jesus drank coffee. You know, is coffee even in the Bible? Huh? Hebrews, yeah. I know, right? Yeah. Okay, we're going to go, yes. Yeah. So, and I want to leave you with this right here before we take our break, because we left off with this verse, 1 Timothy 6:6, and I think it kind of drove me to go in this direction. 1 Timothy 6:6 through 8, and it says this. It says, "But godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering with these things, we shall be content." And this is the actual verse that kind of drove me into the direction of looking at priorities. Because, you know, a lot of people are going to read that and say, "I'm supposed to be content with that?" That's what the Word says. I mean, spiritual fulfillment is where God wants us to be satisfied, is what the verse is trying to tell us. And with that satisfaction, we can enjoy whatever God has for us at the time in which He has it and where He has it. So you understand that you can be comfortable with wherever God has you, in whatever circumstances you're in, and it doesn't require physical change. It doesn't require advancement. It doesn't require a new something. It doesn't require trading something out. It doesn't require any of the worldly things that we often think would make us happy. It has to do with priorities in the spiritual realm. It has to do with priorities on the left side of the equation versus the right side. So this is where I think we'll kind of go from this verse and keep taking the thought anyways as we move forward into this lesson. So that being said, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for the ability to see that there are things that we need to know, and there's things that we need to see and learn, and we're just so grateful and thankful that we can do that, and we can accomplish your will for our lives successfully. We thank you for Jesus Christ, and we thank you for all the things that we have, all rooted in the cross and the freeness of salvation that we have according to you. We thank you, and all these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.